and I'm going to open a... do we need hearing or just work session?
Nobody signed up, so...
I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2053.
Wow, he is going to work.
Yes, Mr. Chair, committee members. House Bill 2053 is pre-session filed on behalf of the Public Utility Commission. We first heard this bill on March 2nd. The bill modifies the base on which the fee imposed on investor-owned electric utilities support PUC operations is determined from one based on electric kilowatt-hour throughput at the meters back to a gross revenue fee of no more than 0.25%, which was the formula that was applied before 1999. And it also is consistent with other regulated industries that pay fees to the commission.
Okay.
Yeah, you also, there's a dash one amendment that was discussed during the hearing with the support of all of the utilities affected by the measure. Representative Esquivel should be in the bill packet from today.
Would you like some explanation of the amendment?
Yes, I would.
All right. Would the PUC people come on up and explain the amendment, please? On behalf of the chair here of the commission. Everybody got their phone shut off?
Mine's in the process of shutting off. That's what's buzzing.
Whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chair, members, the bill in front of you is a method change of assessing the PUC's fee. As you'll recall, the PUC is totally fee-supported agency, and what this does is it takes our structure for assessing the fee back to the way it was in 1997 and makes it consistent with the way we assess the fee on all other utilities. The reason it's different now is in 1997, assuming the electricity industry was going to change, remember we were going through that electric restructuring process and all of that, the gross revenue fee, if you had, you know, hundreds of companies out there doing it, wouldn't work. So we went to what's called a throughput fee. And I think it's self-evident we didn't change the market very much, and the current structure is not keeping up with, it's not paralleling the cost increases. So we'd like to go back to the way it used to be. We had this, and the last week when we had the testimony, we had the support on this of all of the industries. Actually, there are three. Of Idaho Power, PGE, and Pacific Core. That's who it applies to, and also the customer groups are supportive of it.
Yes, Representative Esquivel.
Yes, Mr. Chairman Lee, did anyone oppose this at all?
No.
Okay. Any further questions?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Holby, please.
Does this have anything to do with telecommunications at all?
God, no.
I think the good representative referring to the earlier hearing that other issues arose.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holby, that's for another day.
Thank you.
Okay, well, if there's no further questions of these fine gentlemen, I do have a work session. Thanks, guys. I do have a work session, but is there anyone who wants to testify? I don't want to deny anyone the ability to do that. All right, seeing none, Representative Esquivel.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I think we have to go out of public hearing. Or
we're in work session. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I move that we attach as an addendum the dash one amendments to the bill.
Representative Esquivel moves we adopt dash ones into House Bill 2053. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection?
Nope.
Then so moved. Representative Esquivel.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move 2053 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Esquivel moves House Bill 2053 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? All right, Kristen, please.
Aye.
Aye. Excused. Aye. Very good. So moved. We probably should carry this on the floor. I guess the chair will carry it. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2053 and You've already heard this once, right?
Yes, all of these, yes.
Do you need all of them? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2314.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 2314 is pre-session filed by the House Judiciary Committee at the request of the Oregon Collectors Association. We first heard this bill on February 28th, and it clarifies current statute regarding public bodies using a private collection agency to collect debt, so that an additional fee can be attached to recovery costs that in full or in part compensates for the fee charged by the collection agency, and there is an emergency clause effective on passage.
All righty then. And is there anyone here to speak to this? All right. Does the committee have any questions on this?
Yeah, the amendments, what do they do?
Actually, there is no, Representative Berger, there's no amendment on this particular bill.
We've already heard it once.
I'm at the wrong one. I skipped up. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Representative 2314, we're down the...
Okay.
We jumped down.
We gotta go.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative.
Do we have...
Okay, I'm ready.
It says it may have fiscal impact statement not yet issued. Do we have anything on that?
Representative Esquivel, I've not seen anything on this. But it's, my educated guess is that if there was a fiscal impact, I would have received one prior to the hearing. But alas, I have not. So,
what's the will of the committee here?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2314 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Holby moves House Bill 2314 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there any hesitation?
I would like some confirmation on the fiscal impact of this, because if there's a potential fiscal impact, we should know that.
Well, Mr. Marquis, would you like to come and discuss this with us on this nice Friday afternoon? Shed some light on this for us.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Matt Marquis representing the Oregon Collectors Association, I don't believe there would be any fiscal impact. This is a fee that is totally discretionary upon the public body, whether or not they charge it or not. Some are doing that now, some aren't. This is only a clarification of the current law. The law is already in place to allow them to charge the fee. This would just allow them to charge a lesser fee than what a collection agency currently charges. Right now, it is interpreted by many attorneys across the state that this collection fee has to be one and the same as a commission charged by a collection agency. This would just allow a lesser fee to be added than what the current commission rate is.
And the initial hearing, no one spoke in opposition.
Oh, no one spoke in opposition.
You were the only one that came up and said
correct,
anything,
correct? Correct, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm. So what's the will of the committee? If there's any hesitation.
Move it out.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll take the man's word because I know where he works.
Chair. If it does happen that there is a fiscal that comes back and we do need to do an additional action, we can pull the bill back into committee.
Well, so. And can we get one before we take it to the floor so we can distribute it?
Mr. Chair, it's actually required for me to do that before it goes to the floor.
So. I think we'll be okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Berger, are you hesitant?
I've got a note in here.
Okay.
Clean up from Holland and Park. Interpretation, clarification, I write myself notes.
Great.
And Mr. Chair, I was having a hard time seeing how there would be a fiscal impact to this myself, so I guess I was just feeling a little more comfortable with it.
Reading my notes.
Well,
I'm fine.
Any further discussion? If not, Kristen, call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Excused. Excused? Aye. Great. I'm going to close the work session. Since it is a fee, you willing to carry it, Representative Holby?
You betcha.
Very good. Thank you very much. I think we should explain it on the floor. So we can just go in order now?
Yes.
I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2104.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 2104 is a pre-session filed on behalf of the Department of State Lands. It reduces the dormancy period from 5 years to 3 years for unclaimed property held by financial institutions, insurance companies, and intangible equity ownership interests. It also changes the requirement that the holder of an unclaimed property provide notice by certified mail to a notice by first-class mail prior to imposing service charges, seizing payment of interest, or levying fees. You have in front of you a -1 amendment from the Oregon Bankers Association, and it is also supported by the department. The amendment allows electronic communication between the financial institution and the owner of a dormant or inactive financial account and allows for the delay of funds or property to be delivered to the department if the delivery results in a penalty or forfeiture in paying interest. And the fiscal on this amendment, it's minimal because the cost will be absorbed by the department with existing funds.
Would we like an explanation of the amendment?
We'd love to have the bankers come up and say this is okay.
Absolutely, Representative. Mr. Martinez?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Tim Martinez, on behalf of the Oregon Bankers Association, this is okay.
Thank you.
That's my kind of testimony.
and my question answered.
That's right. Any further comments, questions, concerns, or discussion?
Comment. Mr. Martinez, maybe next time you just do this in the back.
Well, we got him on record now.
Well, and I guess, Mr. Chair, I've got notes in here that this looks like a good idea, and the amendments are coming, and I guess it's the amendments that I want to be sure that they say what was, and that's what I'm really asking. And if you are assured of that, then I am assured, and thank you.
And, you know, we're not in a hurry today, but if it's simple, let's move it. All right, then. If there is no further discussion,
thank you, Tim.
Mr. Chair, I must add before motions are made that there is a subsequent referral to the Revenue Committee on this bill.
Oh, well, I'll get to see it again. What did I care?
That's right. So I'll entertain a motion to move the amendment into the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the -1 amendments to House Bill 2104.
Great. Representative Holby moves the -1 amendments into the bill, House Bill 2104. Is there any discussion? Is there an objection? If not, seeing none, so moved. Representative Holby.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2104 as amended to the House Committee on Revenue.
Very good. Representative Holby moves House Bill 2104 as amended to the Committee on Revenue with a due pass recommendation.
Correct? With a due pass recommendation.
Very good. Is there any discussion? All right, Kristen, please.
Yes. I mean, aye.
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 Excused.
Writing.
Aye. All right, very good. Thank you. So, I'm going to open a... Do I point to Carrie or is Phil?
No, oh, never mind. Sorry, excuse me. I'm sorry.
I'll end up another bite of that.
Sorry. Well, just as a preemptive. Sorry, my apologies.
It's quite all right. You do a great job. I'm going to close the work session on 2104 and open a work session on House Bill 2619.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 2619 is sponsored by Representative Holvey. We first heard this on March the 2nd. It allows a member of the Public Employees Retirement System who is a public officer or police officer to receive retirement credit for service as a public safety officer with another state or a subdivision within another state before being employed in a position that entitled the member to earn credit within the system. An eligible officer can purchase up to 4 years of retirement credit and must pay a lump sum that equals the amount determined by the PERS board as the full cost of PERS for providing the retirement credit. There are no amendments before you. There is a current subsequent referral to Ways and Means. However, there is a minimal fiscal impact on the measure.
Well, great. We have PERS and Mr. Glashman here today. Are there any questions on this?
Are we going to do that?
From my committee?
Are we in work session?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Seeing as this is sponsored by Representative Holvey, and I have in my notes here this is a good bill and will help law enforcement, which I am solidly behind, I move House Bill 2619 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Do we do that to Ways and Means?
Yes. Yeah. Well. Yeah. All right. Representative Berger moves.
Wait. There is a minimal, Mr. Chair, there is a minimal fiscal impact, so that could be one thing for you to consider as to if.
But we're sending it to Ways and Means to deal with that.
Let's all slow down here. Did anyone request that we rescind the referral to Ways and Means?
Yes, actually, Representative Holder put in that request.
Was it granted?
Yes, it was.
Well, then.
Then I amend my motion to move it to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Good.
Representative, we have to.
Yes, sir.
Discussion. Does the committee have to formally rescind the referral to the committee?
No, you can add that within the motion. Yes.
Okay.
And we did, and since we did receive permission from the Speaker's office prior to the hearing, okay, we'll be fine.
Can we add that to the
motion? I believe it's implied after this discussion.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Representative Escobar.
Yeah, I'm not sure where we'd get much of a fiscal impact at all on this. I mean, as somebody bringing in a sack of money and you're filling out some paperwork, what you would do anyway as a new police officer in the particular municipality, county, going to a state. So I think it's very minimal, if anything.
All right. Well, very good. Representative Berger moves House Bill 26... Excuse me. Representative Berger moves House Bill 2619 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? If not, Kristen, you call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Excuse. Aye. Very good. I'm going to close the. Well, Representative Berger, would you like to carry that bill?
No, I was going to allow.
No, it's Holby's bill. She was so excited about it. Forgive me. Representative Holby, would you like to carry that bill?
Well, Representative Holby, that I like this bill.
Representative Holby's carrying the bill. And we're going to close the work session on House Bill 2619.
Well, you can tell us.
And we're going to did you catch that?
Yes.
Right. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 2679.
Mr. Chair, Representative, the House Bill 2679 is sponsored by Representative Barker. We first heard this bill on February 28th. It allows a member of the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan's individual account program to receive vested amounts in the members' employee accounts and employer accounts over a period that is equal to the anticipated lifespan of the member as actuarially determined by the Public Employees Retirement Board. There is also a subsequent referral to Ways and Means on this. However, there was a request at our first hearing from Representative McPherson to remove the Ways and Means referral. Then there is no fiscal impact on it.
And may I ask, then, the request ever has it been granted?
Yes, yes, Mr. Chair, it has been
granted. We'll make
yes.
sure that the mover of the bill says so in the motion. So... very good. Is there any discussion, comments, concerns, questions on this bill?
Mr. Chair, I'd be Senator happy to move this bill as long as they don't have to carry it.
Pardon me?
Never
mind. This is good for law enforcement as well, Representative.
Well, but I don't...
Don't worry about it. I want to sign it. You go ahead and make a
motion. Okay. I move that the subsequent referral to House Bill 2639-79 to Ways and Be rescinded and that it be... referred to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Very good. Representative Berger rescinds the subsequent referral of House Bill 2679 to Ways and Means and that it be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Very good. Kristen, please.
Aye.
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 Excuse. Aye. Very good. I'll carry that bill on the floor. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2679.
I carry it for you.
And I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2635.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 2635 is sponsored by Representative Hunt. It expands the definition of a family member under the Oregon Family Leave Act to allow an eligible employee to take family leave from work to care for a grandparent or a grandchild.
This is the one Mr. Groner testified on.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion on this bill? Any comments or questions?
Did anybody come up with any fiscal on this?
Because it says it may have a potential.
I get, Representative Berger, I didn't have anything, any statement come to me before the prior to the hearing. So,
if there's any hesitation at all,
well I guess, you know, I'm a grandmother, and I love this bill in terms of being a grandmother, but on the other hand, it is another piece that puts something on business that wasn't there before, and I'm kind of, we haven't really heard a lot. I don't have in my notes a lot of testimony about this bill, and I just kind of am thinking, how big of an effect is this going to have? It's one more thing that business sort of has to do.
Yeah, it really, if I may, the fiscal, it's a private decision among an employee to take this, so, and you get, you're not paid on this leave.
Well, I know, but when people leave, somebody else has to fill in behind them,
And businesses are impacted. I can assure you I have had employees, and when they leave, somebody else has to work overtime or more or something. So I guess with those kinds of caveats, I'm willing to support this, but I would like to put on record that I think that there is an impact on business on this. It is sort of an expansion of the employee's ability to be gone, and that being said, I also am cognizant of the intergenerational needs to help each other out in a family setting rather than depending on government to do it all. So when I weigh the balance, I guess I'll support this bill.
Thank you, Representative.
Okay. I feel strongly both ways, too.
How about that circle?
She summarized. No.
Does anyone want to speak to this out there? Okay, just to make sure. Okay, then. If there's not any further discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2635 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Holby moves House Bill 2635 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Kristen, would you please?
Aye.
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 Excuse. Aye. Very good. Would anyone like to carry this bill on the floor? It's actually a nice bill. Representative Edwards, would you like to carry this bill on the floor?
Got
to give you something to do.
You're requesting.
Very good. Representative Edwards, then. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2635 and open a work session on House Bill 2437.
Yes, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2437 is brought to you by Representative Garrard at the request of the Oregon Vehicle Dealers Association. It corrects an oversight in ORS 822027, which was enacted in 1999 legislature, by requiring a person who wants to apply for a vehicle dealer certificate to complete education requirements within 3 years prior to submitting an application. There is a -1 amendment in front of you from the Oregon Vehicle Dealers Association, which the language was discussed at the first hearing on February 22nd. It would change the time frame from completing the education requirements from 3 years to 1 year.
Very good. And that's what the amendment is.
Yes, right? Yes, Mr. Chair, that's all it does.
All right. Are there any questions about this bill with the committee?
No.
It looks like the people out, the stakeholders are very interested in this bill.
Look, all those thumbs going up out there.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I move that House Bill 2437 be amended with the -1.
Representative Berger moves House Bill 2437 be amended with the -1 amendments. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so moved. Would you like a discussion?
I was going to move the bill for it.
Well, I think she'd be too. Okay. Representative Berger.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2437 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Berger moves House Bill 2437 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? All right. Kristen, would you call the roll, please?
Aye.
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 Excuse. Aye. Very good. Representative Berger will carry on the floor. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2437 and open the work session on House Bill 2438.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 2438 is also from Representative Garrard, the request of the Oregon Vehicle Dealers Association. The original bill changed a variety of provisions in regards to vehicle dealers. However, in front of you is a -3 amendment, which was discussed at the first public hearing. It replaces the bill and amends a provision under ORS 822060 regarding required information on a disclosure form on a sale on consignment. It was identical to the -1 amendment that was in front of you at the first hearing, but there was one additional change, language change onto the form.
It had to do with the disclosure.
Yes.
And the Banking Association was just here, so I know they know it's on the agenda, so they must be okay with amendments. People are all nodding their heads. So, are there any questions, concerns about Representative Esquivel?
Yes. Could I have someone come up and kind of give me a rundown of
Mr.
these -3 amendments? And the reason being is I was in district.
Oh, that's right. You were here.
So I didn't get to hear
very
this.
Good. Well, Monty King here. Help us out.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Monty King. I'm president of Oregon Vehicle Dealer Association. Mr. Chairman, Representative Esquivel, we basically took out the whole bond thing. There's a lot of conflict on that. And then the last part of it was about people who repair vehicles, and at the request of NATO, we took that out. So what we're left with is a form that a dealer has to give a consumer when they buy a vehicle that has been consigned. We worked with the Department of Justice and the Bankers Association and the other associations. So what dealers had to do basically was give the person the name of the person who consigned it and who their bank was. And we really felt that was against privacy rules. So we got everybody together and we said, okay, we're gonna still make sure the person knows it's a consignment. And then the banks came in last time and they wanted a statement that said there is a security interest on the vehicle or there is not a security interest on the vehicle. That way the person knows if there is one that they want to check back with the dealer and make sure it's been paid off. So we're no longer required to give somebody's name and bank up to somebody who really shouldn't have that information.
Representative Berger.
And remind me, Monty, this is protection for the buyer that there's notification that they know there's a lien or whatever you call it on a car that they might be buying. Is that the purpose? To protect the buyer or to protect the seller?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Berger, it is protect the disclosure. What we're taking out is protecting the seller so that their information isn't given to anybody, but at the same time we're still protecting the buyer so that they know they really need to make sure that the dealer pays off the vehicle. Now, there's some other things involved there, but let's say the dealer doesn't pay off the lien. That person is still going to be able to get that title eventually, but they're going to have to go through a dispute resolution process with the Department of Motor Vehicles because they paid for the vehicle. No matter what, they're eventually going to get the title. What this does is it cuts that shorter so that they're checking back.
Okay, so the real purpose of the, I mean, I know there were some things in this form that the bankers didn't like and one thing and another, but the real purpose of having a form like this is to give the buyer a heads up. They need to check back and make sure the lien's gone or be prepared to handle that lien at some level, at some point.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Berger, that's
and that they
exactly
understand
correct.
What their obligations are. Okay, yes. And the Dash 3 totally replaces everything. It's the whole bill. Got it.
Representative Esquivel.
Yes, on this, Monty, on this, Mr. Chair, and Monty, on the scenario that you just painted, what corrective action, other than the DMV part that you mentioned, I mean, does the bank go after the dealer? You know, because I would think that the seller would be out of the picture and the buyer would be out of the picture at that point if a dealership didn't pay off the loan like they're supposed to. How would that work? I mean, I'm just curious, and this really has nothing to do with the bill.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
But, I mean,
somebody's on that.
I'm curious.
Somebody's on that.
And that's to Mr. Chairman, Representative Esquivel. There have been cases like this, and basically the bank goes after the person who took the loan out. You got to remember that somebody who consigns a vehicle to a dealer, they are choosing an agent. That's their agent. That's their person who's doing that deal for them. If they pick a bad person, it can come back on them, but they are ultimately responsible for their loan. The person who's buying a vehicle, they have paid the person's agent the money, so they get to keep the vehicle. They're the end buyer. They're okay. But when a dealer goes to Brazil in the middle of a deal and he doesn't pay off that lien, the bank's going to go after that person. But there's going to be a bond claim. That's why we got the bond, right? The $40,000 bond. We took out the bond thing, okay? If there's one or two vehicles involved, there's not really a big problem. If there's 70 or 80, then there's, but that person is choosing an agent for their business transaction and they're responsible for their agent just like anybody else would be.
So be careful who you hire as an agent.
I get 70 vehicles, I will be.
You don't know. are there any other questions of Mr. King? All right, thanks, Monty. The Dash 3s, would somebody like to move them into the bill? Representative Escobar?
Yes, I move that we adopt the dash 3 amendments into 2438.
Representative Escobar moves we adopt the dash 3 amendments into 2438. Is there any discussion? All right. Any objection? Seeing none, so moved. Representative Escobar?
Yes, I moved 2438 with the adoption of the dash 3 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Escobar moves House Bill 2438 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Kristen, would you call the roll, please?
Aye.
Representative
Berger?
Aye.
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 Excused. Aye. Representative Escobar would like to hear it. That'd be great. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2438. Is there any discussion for the good of the order?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
It seems to me that if the business and legislation were routinely conducted at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, things would move pretty fast.
Well, we run a tight ship around here, Representative, and I got a great crew. I'm going to close the committee for the day. Have a